Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hello, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we teach those who teach others. So open your Bibles, pens, and notebooks as we dive into the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, and the parable of the unjust judge, which is one of the more puzzling passages in Scripture. But we will tell you what it means, we will show you what it means, and you will learn some very important spiritual principles. So before we do that, let us pray. Father in heaven, this is your word, and you have written it for our edification, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Now, Lord, we ask that you will open your Bible to us, show us your promises and your glory. Help our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to be open to the wonders of your gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read the passage, Luke 18 and verses 1 to 8. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? And I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. So what is going on with this parable? It's one of a series of parables that Jesus is going to tell about prayer. And the principle stated right up the front is that we should pray and not lose heart. And then the puzzling thing is at the end, in verse 8, it says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? How is that connected to this? Well, the simple answer is that discouragement destroys faith. Let me repeat that. Discouragement destroys faith. So we have to pray and not lose heart, otherwise our faith will fail under the trials and tribulations of life. So here we have a situation with a widow and an unjust judge, and she did not get discouraged. Her faith did not fail. She persisted. She persisted and persisted. She banged her head against the brick wall until the brick wall broke. And God is much better than any unjust judge that neither fears God nor respects man. So the implication is that God is better than the unjust judge, so you won't have to bang your head against the brick wall for quite as long. Now, some of us would say, well, I've been asking for this from the Lord for a very, very long time. And we get discouraged. I was single until my mid-40s. I had gone through this and that, and people didn't want to marry me because of my ministry or because of this or because of that and because I wasn't rich and famous or whatever reasons they had. And so it all came to nothing until I married Minda at the age of 45. I'd prayed, I'd wished, I didn't like being single, and it took a long time for me to find a wife as good as my lovely wife, Minda, who is with me in Virginia now. I married her in the Philippines, actually, and she's a botanist with a PhD in botany. And so God gives us our justice, but it may take a long while to get there. In that case, it was over 20 years of prayer to find the right person. And that same with Abraham and Isaac. He prayed and prayed for 25 years for Isaac to turn up, and all hope was gone, and he persisted in prayer. And let's look at Abraham and his persistence in prayer and how he eventually got justice, how he eventually got the promise of the Lord. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4, verses 16 to 22. Romans chapter 4, verses 16 to 22. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, that's talking about Abraham, in hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. So here's Abraham. He wants his offspring. He wants to be the father of many nations, depending on the promise of God, which is based on the character of God. And he waited and he waited for 25 years, believing the word of the Lord to him and to Sarah. And eventually Isaac was born. And Isaac means that Sarah laughed. It's the laughter of the people in the old age, conceiving and bearing a child. And so we saw the grace of God as Sarah was 90 years old and Abraham 100, as their child Isaac, the father of all who have faith. Abraham was the father of all who have faith, but Isaac is the promise, the seed of promise, and gives us an indication of how God works. Let's have a look at another passage from the book of Revelation, and we're going to tie all this together with persistent prayer and the character of God and the widow who was up against an unjust judge. Okay, let's look at Revelation 6, verses 9 to 11. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. Okay, so here are the martyrs. They're the people you would expect to get immediate justice. And they're from Stephen, who was stoned, all through to the martyrs of today who are being killed in nations around the world, poisoned and shot and murdered in various ways, simply because they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we know that the Antichrist, who will be the devil, come down to earth. The devil will come down into a human body, become the Antichrist, have all the power of the dragon, and he will pursue those who are of Abrahamic faith, those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he will slaughter them, and he will behead all those who refuse to take the mark of the beast. So we know that this terrible thing is coming, and let's not worry about it. We know that the Lord is returning and God will bring justice on the earth. So we are going to have to be patient and persistent during the tribulation. I believe the church goes through the tribulation up to a point. Just before Revelation 16 and Revelation 15, I believe the church is raptured and the church does not face the final seven bowl judgments, but goes through all the terrifying things of the Antichrist and Revelation 13 and 14, and where there is a terrible persecution of the Christian church and the devil comes down to make war against the saints, which we find out about at the end of Revelation chapter 12. So it says at the end of 12 that the devil comes down to make war against the saints. That occurs during Revelation 13, 14, and 15. But by the end of that, they've all been martyred or raptured. They've all gone up to the heavenly realms. They're all standing on the heavenly throne before the Lord. And then there is silence in heaven for half an hour, and the bowl judgments are poured out upon the earth. And that's my reading of the book of Revelation. So it says here is the patient endurance of the saints. We are going to have to be patient and endure for the justice of God to be manifest on the earth, just as it was for those who had been martyred. Their souls are under the throne, as it has been for thousands and millions of Christians over the years, waiting for the justice of God. And they're up there in heaven, they're given a robe of righteousness, but they're waiting for the vengeance of the Lord. They're waiting for God to wipe out their enemies who have slaughtered them. Because in the end, God is just. Now, if a persecutor of the church repents, then that persecutor's sins are forgiven. And we think of Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, who persecuted the church. Eventually, he himself is martyred. And as he enters heaven, all those he martyred, like Stephen, would stand there and applaud and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And he would say, "I am unworthy. I'm the greatest of all sinners because I persecuted the church." But he received the grace of God. So we know that there's going to be a terrible end times persecution. Our faith will be tested. But here and now, it's often tested in the small things of life, like waiting to get married or waiting to have a child, waiting for a promotion, waiting to be able to pay off the mortgage or afford a house. These are the things that seem to grind us down. Waiting for an opportunity for ministry that never seems to come. And we are always waiting for the breakthrough. And many people, many false prophets, are running around promising instant breakthrough. They're not saying persist, they're not saying wait, they're not saying depend on the character and promises of God. Rather, they're saying depend on my magic formula, depend on my anointed handkerchief, depend on my blessing or personal prophecy over you. And those people will just take your money and run because they cannot deliver the promises of God. Only God can deliver on the promises of God, and he will because he is faithful. Okay, let's get back to the parable. Okay, it says right at the beginning, we need to pray and not lose heart. God has appointed prayer to be our main form of personal encouragement. We pray and the Holy Ghost ministers to us and tells us what to do to get through a discouraging situation. I know of a woman who I was talking to today who in the past had dealt with a husband who was cold-hearted, manipulative, and very difficult to live with. After a particular argument, she was deeply and bitterly discouraged. And they lived in a long house, a large house. He was a rich man, but he was a very dominating man. And they'd had this terrible argument, and she was very upset. And she spoke to the Lord in prayer. And the Lord said, "You know what it says in 1 Corinthians 13? Go and be patient and kind. Love is patient, love is kind. Go and do something that's patient and kind." Now, the husband was one of these manipulative people who kept making a mess and expecting his wife to pick it up. It was his little game. He'd make a mess here and he would ignore it for days and days, and he would cause it and expect his wife, who was a very intelligent and capable woman, to clean up behind him. And so she thought, "I know what I will do. I will be patient and kind, and I will clean up the mess that he's left." And she marched over right to the other end of this big house and cleaned up the mess. And as she did so, as she obeyed the Lord and the prompting, all the burden of that terrible argument lifted off her heart and her mind. She was encouraged. She had prayed. God had told her what to do. She did it. She forgave. She was patient and kind. And eventually God delivered her out of that situation, but that's a much longer story. So, we know that God has appointed prayer to be our chief form of comfort. We pray, and we do not know how to pray. We are bewildered by our circumstances, and the Holy Spirit prays for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us for groanings, with groanings too deep for words. That's Romans 8:26. When you are afflicted, when you're in despair, you should pray and not lose heart. You shouldn't give up. You should not be easily discouraged. You should not be easily moved by the circumstances of life. Now, being easily discouraged is a terrible trap. It's one of the devil's traps. Oh, this happened. I can't trust God anymore. Oh, this happened. It's really bad. And some people go up and down. They zoom to doom. They go to a gloomy place, a discouraged place, very quickly. And they quickly give up on projects, on life, on change, and so on. Someone might say, I want to get fit. I want to get exercise. I want to look better, be stronger. And they try a little bit, and then they are easily discouraged, and they give up, and they never become fit. Another person wants to go and study the Bible, and they try and study the Bible, and they give up very quickly. I know of one man who gave up in Genesis chapter 1 because he read an older version of the Bible, and he came to the word firmament, and the Lord made the firmament. And he said, I don't know what a firmament is. This is a difficult book. And he didn't bother looking up a dictionary or finding out that it meant expanse. He said, I don't know what the word firmament is. This is a difficult book. And he stopped reading the Bible at Genesis chapter 1. I hope you do better than that. I hope when you find a difficult Bible word or Bible phrase, you look it up. You ask someone, what's the firmament? And you figure things out. Don't give up easily. Don't run away just because you've hit a little problem. Pray and do not lose heart. Take the things of life and of God seriously. If God's given you something to do, do not lose heart in the middle of it. Keep on pressing on. I've got a friend of mine who has accomplished a lot in building a Christian university in America. And he built it from a very shaky start. No one thought he would succeed. But he said his secret was that he banged his head against the brick wall until the brick wall broke. He would bang his head against the brick wall until the brick wall broke. And he dealt with all sorts of situations with students and lecturers and money and recruitment and getting accreditation. And he pushed his way through. And his name's Andrew Sears from City Vision University in the USA. And it offers a great master's degree if you ever want to do that. So, God has plans and purposes for you, but you must persist, and the main way to persist is to persist in prayer. And we're to come to God on the basis of what God has said, on the basis of our written rights. When the widow came before the judge, she said, give me justice from my adversary. She wasn't asking for something extra. She was asking for something that she fully deserved, that the law gave her, but this more powerful person, this wicked person, was preventing her. Maybe this person had taken her land through adverse possessions, had stolen her farm or her house or her land. And this person's rich and powerful and she couldn't do anything, so she go to the judge and say, I want my land back. And some of you in many countries know how those land disputes go, and the poor person is often at a great disadvantage. And in some countries, the rich people even bribe the judge. And I know of one country where that happens quite often. So you need to not give up. She didn't give up. She kept going back to the judge and back to the judge and back to the judge until the judge gave way and said, I will give her justice. Now, God is not unjust. He's not as bad as that unjust judge. He is better than that. And that's Hebrew thinking. You go from the lesser to the greater. If this is true, then the bigger thing must be true also. So if an unjust judge can give in, surely the God of heaven and earth, the God of the kingdom of God, will give you justice. So this persistence in prayer is something that strengthens us spiritually. If you persist like Abraham did in hope against hope, not wavering in unbelief, his faith was strengthened. And he gave glory to God. Here is someone that was praying for 25 years for his heart's desire until he got what he wanted in his heart's desire. So you need to be someone whose faith is strengthened, whose character is strengthened through that persistence. And I'm sure when the widow finally got her victory, she went out and she had a party and she praised the Lord and she gave thanks unto the Lord. And she also knew she was a different person now. She wasn't the person who gave up. She wasn't the person like the other widow around the corner who gave up. There's probably plenty of people in difficult circumstances and they give up. But she got her farm back, or she got her money back. Whatever the situation was, it was resolved because she was persistent. And your life situations will be resolved when you have hope, when you have the persistence of faith. Well, what's the persistence of faith based on? In Abraham's case, it was based on the fact that God would do what he promised. And that's the basis of all faith, that God will do what he promised. God is not a man that he should lie. He cannot lie. It says in Titus chapter 1 and I think verse 2, the God who cannot lie has promised us eternal life, and he's promised this before time began. God has promised you eternal life, and he will give you eternal life as you come to him, and he will satisfy you with the finest of wheat. He will give you of the best of heaven as you press in, because God is not a liar. He is not a man that he should lie. He is not unjust. God is faithful. God is good. God is honorable. God is just. God is fair. God is long-suffering. God is full of mercy and truth. And God's character cannot change and does not change. He is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So you can depend on God. You can depend on the God who is light and in whom there is no darkness at all. You can depend on that God to be the God who answers your prayers. And you need to go to God with specific, persistent prayers. Now, sometimes we just go to God, God, please bless me. And probably that's a useful prayer for some people. But Abraham prayed for something very specific, that he would be the father of many nations, that he would have a child from his own body and from Sarah's womb, and then that child would be the child of promise, carrying on the Abrahamic covenant, which has given rise to the Jewish people and has given rise to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and given rise to Christianity and to the faithful. He believed, and because of his belief, he became the father of many nations. He inherited the land. He inherited the gates of his enemies. He had great victories over the devil because of his faith, and that final victory was nailed down in Genesis chapter 22 when he offered Isaac up upon the altar. And that's a whole other story. But Abraham persisted in faith, and he was a great and glorious man of God. And it is the faith of Abraham that shows the way for us being persistent in our prayer life. And so you need to bank on the character of God. You can bank on the character and promises of God, because all of those promises in the Bible, they are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. And I think that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. All the promises in Christ Jesus are yea and amen. They're confirmed. They're made true in Jesus Christ, whose blood has paid for our sins. And on the cross, he took captivity captive. He took all the things with taking us captive. He took them captive. He took the demons out of the way that were obstructing human health and well-being, all the demonic oppression. He has taken it out of the way. And instead of us being cursed, instead of us being under the curse of the law, we have now all the blessings in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 1:3. Those blessings in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in Ephesians 1:3, they need to be laid hold of by faith. And it's not an easy thing. You just don't say the prayer once, because we are fighting against principalities and powers in the heavenly realms that want to deny justice to us, that want to crush us like they crushed the martyrs in the end times, that want to destroy us. But we have greater things. We have the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, everything must bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And through persistence in prayer, we will overcome the wicked one. We will overcome the adversary. Who is the adversary coming against this woman? Well, we have unnamed the adversary, and that is Satan. Satan means adversary. So this woman overcame the devil, overcame her adversary by persistent prayer before the Lord. You will overcome your adversary in the spiritual realm through persistent prayer to the Lord based on the character of God. And you must not get discouraged. Remember what I said at the beginning of this broadcast. Discouragement destroys faith in the character and promises of God. You're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting, and then one day you say, I'm sick of waiting, I'm giving up, and you throw your faith away. You say, it didn't work, God didn't work for me, I'm giving up. And that's exactly the result the devil wants. It's the result your adversary wants. The adversary of the widow wanted her to give up. The adversary of the widow said, oh, you'll never get a breakthrough against me. I'm too rich, I'm too powerful, I'm in control. But the widow went to the judge again and again, and eventually she conquered the adversary. You will conquer the devil through persistence, through patience, through prayer, through long suffering, and through keeping on believing in the character and the promises and the power of God. Do not give up on God. Do not throw away your reward. Do not throw away your faith, which has great reward. Do not give up now. Keep on going. Keep on plodding on. If you've got one more day of breath in you, keep breathing. Keep going. Keep praying. Keep having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for you, and God, who is just, who is the creator of all things, and who cannot lie and who does not lie. God will bring you through. You need to persist in prayer and not give up and not abandon your faith. And when it says, when Jesus returns, will he find faith on the earth? What are you saying? That the sufferings of this life are so great that most people will give up. You'll have to search high and low to find someone who still believes when he returns because of the intense suffering of that age. And we go through intense suffering, and Jesus is looking here and there to find the people who still had faith. And at the end of the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, it says that God looked around for those who weren't grumbling, who weren't discouraged. And end of Malachi, it says the people were saying, what difference is it between the righteous and the wicked? What use is it being righteous? But some of them said it is still useful. And God wrote them down in the book of life for continuing to believe during discouraging times. God is looking for people like you who will continue to believe, who will not give up, who will be persistent in prayer during tough and discouraging times. Discouraging times don't last, but tough people do. Tough times don't last, but tough people do when they pray and have faith in God. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.